Hey, welcome back to the Hustle Podcast. Today we're going to talk to Charlie Waite, a new friend of mine and an awesome designer on the West Coast, who is currently a design manager at GoPro, about what it takes to design an effective team and what it takes to balance your life between managing that team, your career, being a designer, and everything else that life demands. Charlie has been doing some awesome work on the GoPro team. I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but there's a new Hero 5, a new Karma drone that they released, and a suite of software that's just tight. Today, we're going to learn a little bit about Charlie, what makes him tick, what inspires him, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Here's Charlie. What's up, Charlie?
How's it going?
Going good. Going good. Just winding down a week. What about yourself?
Same here. Ready for the weekend. I'm excited. It's Friday.
What do you do on the weekends?
Oh, man. What don't we do on the weekends? I've got three kids, so it's a little crazy between birthday parties and soccer games and carpools. Try to mix in a little surfing, a little downtime with the wife, and just kind of hanging out and kind of recharging for the week.
Awesome. Why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I am a design manager at GoPro. I'm also a father, professional husband, surfer, former baseball player, Uber driver for my kids, all those good things.
How did you make the transition from professional sports to design?
Yeah, it's an interesting path. From an early age, baseball was my first love. It's the only thing I ever wanted to do. It's kind of funny. My dad would, take me down to the beach and want to try to get me into surfing. And I would just be like, no, let's just stay on the beach and play catch. And he would freak out because the waves were good. And he's like, I don't know. Let's go surf. So it was just like it consumed every second I was awake. But I also had this other side of me that was kind of creative. I loved to draw and doodle and, even from an early age, like redesigning like sports logos and stuff. I always had that. My grandfather was a really good artist and spent a lot of time with him and kind of picked up on that. Baseball was really my passion. It was what I focused on pretty much the majority of my life, and ended up going to college for baseball. And I jokingly tell people I majored in baseball, minored in partying, and dabbled in school, because that was kind of my focus. I was just baseball 100%. But like all good things, sometimes they come to an end, and kind of had to figure out what I was going to do. And luckily somehow got into design and art school along the way, probably because it just freed me up to focus on baseball. And when I was done with my professional career, I just said, all right, let's try to make a run at this, and thank God for the internet.
That's cool. I also had a common love for baseball as a young kid too. I mean, that's all I did growing up, and that's all I wanted to do professionally. But when I was really good at it too, but when it came to high school, I think I had the opposite thing happen. I just wanted to skateboard and like slack off. I didn't want to practice, but I often wonder what would have happened if I had stuck with it.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Having kids now and just watching like the pressure that they get put on to be like solely focused on these one things. It's kind of gnarly. Like I was very fortunate, and my dad never, pushed me too hard into baseball or practicing. It was kind of the reverse. I would take away his surfing time to make him throw me batting practice or whatever. It was really all I ever did. I mean, outside of, friends and surfing and that, I mean, I didn't play any other sports. I was solely focused on that. And I always kind of wish now, looking back at it, that I was a little bit more kind of open to playing some other sports or just kind of doing some other things. You're a kid for only so long, and it's like you kind of get so focused and consumed by it sometimes. I don't know if it's the best thing. I don't know if I necessarily would change anything in my life. But you always kind of look back and say like, well, I wonder if I would have done anything different, where I would have ended up.
Well, I think you made a good choice. I mean, I'm a big fan of your work, and you know, you've done some really great things. I mean, you used to work at Focus Lab. I'm a big fan of what they do. Now you're at GoPro. I mean, who's not a fan? Yeah, you know, who's not watching what GoPro's doing? I mean, GoPro is everywhere. That's got to be really exciting to be able to, you know, create things that so many different people, you know, individuals, families, professional sports, you know, things that people use every day now.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's also super scary when you start designing for things that people care so passionately about. There's a certain level of like anxiety about, you know, ideas and you know, features and things that you put out there that, you know, you almost don't even want to rock the boat sometimes, even if it is in the user's best interest. You know, they don't always see that at the get-go, and you know, you try to do your due diligence, but sometimes it doesn't always work out.
So real quick before we start talking about what we've been doing recently, I'm curious, what caused the transition for you in shifting from client services to working at a product company?
Yeah, that's a kind of a big step, I think, in my design career. I loved every day at Focus Lab. And before Focus Lab, I had my own kind of freelance business. So, you know, it was client services then. And it's really all I ever knew. And I got to a point where, as much as I loved Focus Lab, I stopped loving the you know, the quickness that you were in and out of projects. There were some projects I couldn't get out of quick enough, and then there were some projects I was like, oh man, I really want to live in this world for a while and see where it goes. I always felt like I was kind of doing, you know, the beta version for everybody. And there's some really great things that you learn, and you know, the education that I got working at Focus Lab is amazing, and you know, obviously has helped get me to where I am today. But that really, the crux of it was, I just wanted to get into a place and really live in that world for a while, and just really do some deep thinking and work with disciplines that I hadn't really had a ton of interaction with. I was also working remotely my entire career, so I was working from the house. And I kind of wanted to get around people and kind of be in an environment that would help me learn, right? I think as creatives, we're always kind of looking to be taught new things, and we've always, you know, looking for that knowledge. And, you know, when you're working remotely, it gets really difficult.
Yeah, that's interesting. So now you're at GoPro. What is what's your role at GoPro, and like what – How does Charlie span the ecosystem of design in that organization?
Yeah, so my official title is a UX UI design manager on the software team down in our office in Carlsbad. And then I also have kind of this other job, which is kind of creative director for One Design, which spans across the company, working with the hardware UX team and marketing and entertainment. And working with this really great team just to come up with like a universal design language that we can spread across the company and make sure everything is looking like it's GoPro.
So is that effort a collaborative effort between all the designers and design leads, or is that something that you spearhead?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. It started out as an initiative with the hardware design director and the user experience director for software. And really, they were kind of tasked to assemble a team to compile this, what we like to call like polish, right? So UX, UI, motion, sound, all these things that are consumer facing, and really kind of elevate the level of design at GoPro, along with, you know, like some like founding guiding like principles and a mission statement, things like that to help onboard new designers so they knew what they were getting into. Really what it was is just kind of, I think, you know, design at GoPro, just taking that next step and really kind of focusing in on becoming an ecosystem and a kind of a media company rather than just a camera company.
Yeah. So, you know, earlier we were talking about how, you know, software and, you know, and software design is kind of a startup at GoPro. It couldn't have been easy to create alignment with all the teams necessary to make that happen. I mean, how long did it take from inception to where it is now to create this design language system?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that we're still, you know, doing at this very moment. We started about close to 2 years ago now that I think about it. You know, in the early days, it was, you know, just aligning with some key people in some certain areas across the team, you know, hardware and marketing, and getting in a room together and just really kind of, you know, doing design sprints of, you know, what should GoPro look like? Like, who are we designing for? Who's our, you know, who's our customer? What's the persona? You know, color palettes and, you know, we have a GoPro brand. Is that still, you know, fit, you know, exploring typography and iconography? I mean, it was just kind of this war room for a couple months of designers just going through iterations and figuring this stuff out. And then alongside of that, you know, GoPro is massive. And when you start thinking about how many design teams and places where design touches at GoPro. So we were kind of on this like search for just finding people. I think GoPro had grown so quickly that it was really easy for a lot of these disciplines to kind of get siloed. So I mean, there was people up to like a couple months ago that I didn't even know existed that should have been involved day one. So, you know, lots of you know, hiccups along the way and learning curves, but you know, it's come a long way. And we just had a really big hardware launch last week and software launch yesterday, and it's really cool and exciting to see all this great work from all the teams come out and actually get in the hands of users.
Yeah, those of you that haven't seen it, there's been a lot of product launches. There's the new Hero 5. There's the Karma drone, brand new software suite. It's pretty awesome. I mean, it's apparent that work is paying off. I mean, and looking at the shots you posted on Dribbble, it's freaking slick. And sort Thanks. Of back to the whole learning thing. I mean, I think you picked a great place to go because, you know, the one great thing about an agency is you get the variety in client work, but you were able to find a place that aligned with your personal interests in outdoor sports or sports. Plus, you get to touch an enormous ecosystem of products and consumers that range from professional sports to, you know, mom and dad using a GoPro with their family. And yeah, I mean, just the variety seems really awesome. You know, Mac desktop applications, you know, mobile applications, soft, you know, editing suites, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, really, when I had been interviewing at a couple places and a lot of like, and some really great companies and really smart people. And, you know, one of the reasons I chose GoPro was for that reason. I was concerned that like, okay, I'm transitioning from a job at Focus Lab where I might be working on, you know, five projects in a week that span from illustration work to iconography to a website to an iOS app in a week. And then all of a sudden I'm going to get stuck on this product on this platform and this feature. Like, that was a real concern of mine. And so I was really, at the end of the day, I was really thinking like, all right, I need to come into this a little bit, I don't want to say cautious, but I don't want to go completely to the other side of the spectrum. Like I need some like middle ground at least to get my feet wet. So GoPro was the logical choice for me. I mean, like we were talking about earlier, with it being kind of a startup feel, I got to wear lots of hats, probably more hats than I really knew I was getting into. My former boss, Vanessa Cho, she warned me, but I don't think I really paid attention. I thought she was kind of joking. But yeah, it's been kind of a amazing learning experience for sure. I mean, everything from getting to work and help on the UI for the new camera and the new drone. I mean, that's a space that I never thought I would, you know, have a hand or to get to design in. Just a whole new world of constraints from the platforms that I was used to. And then, like you mentioned, you know, just on our team with, you know, mobile and native Mac and Windows and, of course, the web. So yeah, I mean, it's been awesome. I mean, it's really, I've been really fortunate in my life for a lot of things, but especially the last few years with Focus Lab and GoPro.
Well, that's awesome. So I have a question. with so many things going on that are all exciting, how are you able to split your time to, with all these different product teams?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really difficult, to be honest. I mean, I don't think there's, I don't know if it's necessarily the best thing to do. And I think if we, you know, we had more resources, it would be great to be a little bit more focused. You know, it's kind of just goes back to the days of Focus Lab where you just, you do as much as you can and to the best of your ability and really make sure that everybody has everything they need. You know, sometimes you're working super late, answering emails at midnight, and some days, you know, you're not working as hard, so you just can't kind of take the good and the bad there with the balance. But yeah, it's difficult, you know. I mean, luckily everybody here is really, I think, thoughtful of time, so there's not a lot of wasted time. Everybody's really, you know, attention to detail and really focused. So when you are spread across really thin or have tons of meetings in a week, you can kind of get everything done, which is difficult. It's really a challenge that I, you know, struggle with every week.
Yeah. I've been there. When I used to work at Evernote, there were only two designers to 30 engineers, and we were trying to work on Evernote sketch products across 8 different platforms. I've definitely been there. So let's talk about team with that in mind. So when you joined, how large was the design team that you're on, and how big is it now, and how's the team structured? You know, what kind of skills do you look for? Are people, you know, sort of multidimensional, and what do you look for in candidates that you're hiring?
Yeah. So when I started, we were pretty small. We're software is actually split between two locations. So we have our location down in Carlsbad, and then we also have one up in San Francisco in the city, and then headquarters for GoPros in San Mateo. But the two software teams are between the city office and Carlsbad. I think when I joined, I want to say we were like, gosh, I'm probably gonna get this wrong, like 10 or 12 maybe. That kind of seems right. And then today I think we're closer to 20, maybe 21, 22, on UX. And really the way we're set up, from day one was, kind of unique. I don't know too many other companies that do it this way, but, we had a set of UX leads that were focused on either initiatives or a platform. And then we had a pool of shared services. So in shared services, you had content, and copy, research, prototype, visual design. We just didn't have enough resources to really kind of build a team for each platform or initiative. So that's kind of the way we handled it out of the gate. And it worked. I mean, I think it kind of goes back to what we were just talking about wearing a bunch of different hats and spanning across a bunch of different kind of design platforms. But over time, you know, it gets really difficult. So we're really trying now with the team growing and having a few more resources to get in a situation where we're building out teams on each platform, so that we can move a lot faster and there's not as many bottlenecks, kind of like we were talking about at Evernote. It gets really hard when you have like one copy person to, you know, write copy for, you know, 7 different platforms and things. And it's just like, you know, hey, we kind of need that now. Can we get that? And she's like, you're like 25th in line right now. You know, the same thing on the visual design side. It's like, hey, I really need this button. It's like, how about next Thursday? You know, it doesn't really work too well.
I mean, I think that's a smart approach, but I think if you're not seeing it already, there's that thing that happens at some point where you realize that if you've been on one platform, for example, that you need that variety. So, you know, allowing those rotations, I don't know if you guys do that, but that's a theme that I've been hearing, you know, quite regularly lately, is like, how do you provide the right rotations for the designers that you manage to make sure that they're leveling up, but also staying engaged and retaining. I don't know how you guys do that, but that is probably one thing that I spend a majority of my time thinking about at FunSize. Like, how can I do that? Cause I want both things as a design manager. I want my team to really focus and go deep and solve this thing and really carry it across finish line and optimize. But I also want them to have variety so that they're, you know, leveling up on different skill sets, whether it's research versus execution or just learning different platforms like Mac apps and Windows apps versus not just mobile, for example. Do you guys have a strategy for how you'll do that? And I guess furthermore, how many designers are you responsible for, and how do you take care of them and yourself and your own needs and still find time for your family and to be designing? I know that's a loaded question, but let's take a stab at that.
A lot. All right. Let's start with that first part. I think, you know, when it comes to making sure people are, you know, I guess happy, right, with their day to day, and learning and, you know, hey, are you scratching this itch? Are you scratching that one? Really what we've always tried to do from a hiring standpoint is making sure that everybody that we hire brings something new to the table. And we really kind of focus on like the designers or whoever it is, will bring something new that you can learn from. So maybe you're not doing the research, or you're not, you know, improving your copy skills by like a tactical standpoint, but you're working closely with these people that we're kind of deeming like experts in that. And you're getting some, you know, visibility in there. So you're really getting to see that. You know, as far as jumping around from platforms, I think, you know, the shared services has a really good chance to do that. You know, with having a small team, I think some of the, you know, the platform leads have pretty good knowledge of that. And then the initiative designers, I mean, that's pretty much their focus, right? They're taking initiative across all platforms. So platform leads are probably the ones that get siloed the most. But I think I think that's kind of what they like. You know, they kind of like living in mobile because they understand it and they know the ins and outs of it, and they don't really have a desire to go to web, or, you know, native desktop or something. But you know, I think it's just part of the management side too, is, you know, we have three managers on the UX team here, and it's just listening and asking and getting feedback. Hey, are you happy? Like, what's going on? Like, you know, hey, I'm kind of interested in this area over here. Okay, let's see how we can kind of work you in there. I mean, it's just at the end of the day, it's kind of just give and take, and just kind of, you know, I always try from a managing side, like, not worry about what's always best for GoPro, I guess, and really what's best for the individual. Because if the individual is happy and they're taken care of, then GoPro will be taken care of. So that's kind of the way I've always done it. I think that's how I've always been managed, and how I like to be managed, even in, you know, taking like my sports background. So that's kind of what I try to like reciprocate.
Wow. Okay. Now, what about the last part of that? How are you able to grow all these other individuals' careers and optimize for your design team and your designers as individuals, but still, and manage all these other responsibilities to the organization, but still find time to execute? The reason why I bring this up is I think there is sometimes a misconception of going into like a management design role means that you're no longer able to design. And I think there's certain people that have cracked the nut and some people that haven't. I think you seem to crack the nut. Maybe it's the way you organize your life. I'm not sure, but I think it's pretty impressive to see people that are managing and maintaining the independent contributor designer status and managing family all at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not easy. I think, you know, the management role and then the IC side of it, it's like, I think it depends on the setup. For me, I don't think I'd ever manage unless I was able to do the creative work as well. I really enjoy the management side. I love helping people grow their careers. But at the end of the day, it's like, if I can't get into Sketch at least a couple hours a week, I'm kind of going to lose my mind. That's really important to me. So I find the time to make it happen. You know, I think, you know, it's one of those things that with our team and the way we're set up, it allows for me to do that and not be a bottleneck. Although I'm sure if you talk to some guys on my team, I'm probably am. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think you also have to take a step back and realize that design is not just in the pixels. Sometimes like my impact can be much greater if I'm not in Sketch and I'm doing, you know, critiques and design reviews with the team and, you know, providing my input through ways there. And then you look at like, okay, so I kind of struggled with it early on, like, okay, so I'm managing here and I'm designing over here. And I kind of made this like two different jobs in my mind. And I was surfing one day and I was thinking about it because it was really kind of bothering me. And I was like, this is stupid. Why don't I just look at it as a full design problem? And then I started finding ways that, you know, designing the team actually kind of scratched that itch for me. Mm-hmm. And coming up with, you know, ideas through design, how we can improve on both things. So I just kind of looked at it as like basically one large design problem. Yep. And, you know, I think that was able to kind of get me away from feeling like too one side or the other, or I was always like choosing or wishing I was doing one or wishing I was doing something else.
Man, I relate to that more than you can imagine. And when I started FunSize, it was just me and I was doing all the work, all of it, like all the pixels. And then Natalie, my wife, joined, and then we had all of a sudden we had a team, and I quickly was in this situation, and for a while it was really depressing because I didn't know how to deal with it. I saw these two different competing things, and I thought that by not being in the pixels as much as I used to be, that I was a failure, you know. And at one point I think I even thought about quitting because I didn't see myself as being useful.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And finally, just like you, I realized, shit, like, you know. And I would see my team really cares about me. Like, yeah, you know, Anthony, you got to really do what you enjoy doing. You know, it's important to us. But when I realized that design was also designing the processes, designing the cadence, designing the communication style, the team, the way we work together, the career paths, the, you know, even business development can be like a lot of things can be designed if you apply the same thinking to it. But I do think it's important to, you know, be in the trenches from some extent. I haven't probably found the way to be as active as you are, but I think my particular skill set is more about being at the whiteboard and thinking about a complicated UX problem versus, you know, like, you know, working in Sketch. But I mean, I think that's awesome that you do that. And I'm sure that your team really respects you because you do that, you know, like, because it's also too easy to just for the switch to be flipped and just being a manager and not actually with the team making things.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I think it's, it's always like, you know, you jump in there and they're like, oh yeah, he can maybe design just a little bit too. It kind of gives you some like a leg to stand on when you say, hey, like, I don't know if I love that button style, you know, then they're kind of under their breath, like, what's this guy talking about? It's definitely good to jump in. I think the other thing too is like, you know, trying to figure out like, okay, you know, I'm terrible now because of, you know, different responsibilities as far as like the tactical day-to-day stuff. But where can I, you know, find time or value in actually getting in the pixels? And I think that's probably more of like that North Star approach. So that kind of happened with, you know, one design originally, you know, kind of like setting a lot of styles and guidelines and things, and then allowing the team to kind of get in there and really think about more of the UX than having to worry about like button styles. Just trying to find different ways that you can kind of scratch that itch and then also not be a bottleneck to your team. And it's definitely, you know, a process that's still something I'm trying to improve on.
I really do think a lot of talented designers are scared of starting their own businesses or going into management tracks because I think they are scared that that'll mean not being a meaningful part of the design. You know, the family thing, you know, and the work life balance. I mean, I know that you and I don't really want to call it work life balance because, like you said, it's not really 50-50.
Yeah, I've never understood it. It's like work life. It's like if your work is 50% and you just have life in this other 50% bucket, like you're doing it wrong. Like, yeah. it should not be that black and white. Like, it's messy, man. It's, you know, some weeks it's work's 80% and life's 20, and you know, the next week it's life is 95 and work's right. 5. It's like, it's just this constant back and forth, and you know, trying to figure out, you know, on a daily basis or weekly basis of, you know, what makes you happy.
So I'm going to ask you this because it's a personal thing that I'm trying to learn from you here. A lot of times I think I have put off certain decisions in my life, like starting a family and things like that, because for whatever reason, I feel like I just couldn't do all these things well. And I think you have 3 kids, yeah. You're a design manager, you're working all this stuff, and you're getting your hands dirty, and you're going home to your family. What kind of advice would you give to me to do all those things in a structured way where it's not completely overwhelming?
Yeah, I mean, I got 3 kids, so everything's overwhelming. I think it's just, you know, how do you carve out the time in a day or a week to do the things that matter most to you? You know, I had an approach, you know, with my work week where I would, you know, time box, you know, meetings and design time when I was freelancing, and then when I went to Focus Lab, because we had a lot going on, and it was just like, all right, I gotta sit down at the beginning of each week and just figure this out. And it worked really well. I was, you know, I felt super productive. Everything was really going well as far as work goes. And so I started looking ways like, man, maybe I can do this some way in my day to day or my life, with all the things that I enjoy outside of work. You know, surfing and, you know, working out and, you know, playing with my kids and spending time with my wife and all these things that, you know, at the end of the day, if I could package it up and, you know, some sort of percentage for each one in a day, I would be super happy, knowing that there's obviously like a give and take depending on the day or the week. So that's kind of what I did. I kind of outlined like, hey, these are like, you know, 5, 7, 8 things that, man, if I could do each one of these every single day, I would be super stoked. I'd go home at the end of the day, feel happy, you know, blessed, all those great adjectives that we want to use of that perfect life. And that's what I try to do. I mean, that's basically how I start every day. It's like, all right, I'm going to try to, you know, play with my kids in the morning before I take them to school. And yeah. Then I'm going to, you know, on the way to work, I'm going to try to surf, and then, you know, I'm going to get to work. And I'm very fortunate, and I think most designers are, that we love what we do. So I'm going to spend the day working. I could go without all the meetings, but, you know, spending the day and, you know, being creative and, you know, get a chance, maybe I can go to the gym that day or, you know, whatever these things are that make you happy, like, how do you fit them into a day? I think that's the kind of the goals. You set those things for yourself, and you hold yourself accountable to them. And it's not perfect. You're not going to hit them all every single day for whatever type of reason. But if you have that goal every day, then you can be kind of focused on it. And I think you can really kind of help you achieve balance that's, you know, throughout the week or throughout the month or, you know, even a year or like your life. You know, you're really setting these goals and holding yourself accountable. I think that's probably the biggest thing, is hold yourself accountable to it and make sure you're taking the time to do these certain things. You know, even if they're selfish things. I tell my wife all the time, she asks, like, why do you want to go surfing so much? And I'm like, it makes me a better husband and father. And like, hands down, like me spending an hour in the water a day, I'm way better to be around. You don't want to see me after a day of meetings with no surfing or not getting to work out or any of that stuff. I'm not the most pleasant person to be around.
You would not want to live in Austin then.
Yeah. Well, I did live in Alabama for 4 years. So, I mean, I had that going for me along with living in Mississippi through college. So, I think that's the other thing too, is, you know, just kind of, because this is kind of funny, actually, all my friends and family, when we moved to Alabama a few years ago, they asked me, they're like, well, how are you going to do that without surfing? And obviously I was bummed not to be able to surf as much, other than like kind of trips back. But it was just replacing that thing, that certain thing that made me happy. It was just like, okay, so I can't surf anymore. Let me find something else to kind of fill that bucket. And it just happened to be like pickup basketball which I know sounds super random, but I was able to kind of get a group of friends and we would play quite a bit during the week. And it was, again, it was just finding these little things here and there just to make sure that my day was, I guess, more or less complete.
Yeah. I try to do these things too, because if I don't, then I will automatically defer to just working every minute that I have available. Now, I work with my wife, so I can't really let work creep into our personal life, but I have some similar tactics that I use just to try to make sure that I get everything that I want to get done during the day that I need to do, plus that I feel like will make me happy, but just try not to let that come home with me. I think I want to, you know, catch up with you another time and talk more about like how you actually, unless you want to tell people, how you actually do that. Like, is it just a daily affirmation process, or do you have it written down on a repeating to-do list, or like you have a wallpaper? I mean, like, how do you like remember these things when you're pulled in so many different directions, context switching between meetings and, you know, like phone calls and critiques and all that? I think it's sometimes easy to forget.
I think now it's so ingrained in like my brain that I don't necessarily need that reminder. I think, you know, writing it down obviously is the first step. I mean, I think once you start to write it down, you can really start to kind of visualize it, and then you kind of like rank it and order it. I also think, you know, a really big thing about it is being creative about how you get certain things done in a day. One of the big things for me is, you know, my week is so crazy with meetings, and some meetings are just like inform meetings, and they're not really things I need to be, you know, actively talking in. So I might go to the gym during that, and, you know, I'm completely there listening. I might be just running on the treadmill. But it gets me out of my chair, out of my office. To be honest with you, I feel like those are some of the best meetings I go to, because I'm completely focused. Versus sitting at my desk and there's distractions and people and things like that. You know, I think there's a huge misconception, especially for like younger designers, and I don't know, maybe even just older designers or whatever, but you know, just because you're sitting at your desk, you're not productive, right? Kind of alluded to it earlier about, you know, sometimes I'm the best designer when I'm actually surfing. Yeah. I have a lot of people tell me, gosh, you design really quickly and you seem like you get through things really quick, because they see me sit down and sketch for like an hour and bust out a design. But it's like, you know, I'm constantly thinking about this stuff. I think that's kind of what you mentioned. You fill up your time with your work, and partly because we love what we do. Yeah. But yeah, I'm never not really thinking about some of these design problems. And, you know, when you're clear and doing things that you love, you can kind of these little ideas and things creep into your mind, or you might see something a little bit different, you know, and you get in that headspace where you're away from your desk, you're away from, you know, kind of, I want to say distractions that are like negative, you know, the internet or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, like surfing or running or working out, it's probably where I think the best. So I'm sure some people will be like, man, why is Charlie going to the gym at 12 today, or, you know, why is he surfing at like 10:30? It's like, I don't know how many hours I work a week, because I don't know if you could really figure out that, because I feel like I'm kind of constantly thinking about it, but not in a negative way.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, it's just like, yeah, if you want me to sit down at a desk and design and be super tactical, you know, some days it might take me an hour, some days it might take me two, but always going through this stuff in my mind. So I think that was probably one of the coolest things that I've learned over the years, is like, you don't have to be at your desk to be necessarily working. So you can actually incorporate some of these things that you might enjoy doing and still be getting your day to day done. So you don't feel like you're, I guess, you know, kind of in this like day of like waterfall, you know, life, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to go do this. And then now I'm going to go do this. And it's like, you can do multiple things at once.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. You know, it's also great too, like the surfing thing for you has got to be perfect, because it's a way for you to be a better person, but it's also for you a way to think about the products you're designing for, you know, like kind of indirectly in a way, right?
Yeah, there's tons of people with GoPros on the boards. it's a little dangerous.
So back to GoPro a little bit, because one of the things that, you know, everyone's talking about these days is, you know, virtual reality. GoPro has a VR app. Are you also working on that?
No, that's actually our team in, I don't know how to pronounce it. I think it's Chambéry. We acquired a team called Color, amazing team in the Alps. And they have a design lead over there. And we work closely with them and, you know, with one design. But yeah, they run that over there. And some of the stuff that they're working on is just amazing. Not sure how much I can really speak to it, but yeah, the VR app it's one of those consumption things that I go to, you know, a few times a week just to see some of the video. It's pretty amazing stuff.
That's a Color with a K, right? K-O-L-O-R.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All right. So, what's, you know, what are some of the things that you're, hoping to do next? I mean, what are you thinking about? Like, what does the next year look like for you?
That's interesting. I've really, really trying to hone this kind of management skill. I think it's something that I've always been thrown into from like an early age, just, you know, with sports and being like a captain and kind of like, I guess maybe looked to as like a leader. And it's kind of followed me through my professional like design career. But I don't know if I've ever really honed those skills necessarily. I've always just kind of done what felt natural, which, you know, I think is always, you know, a good place to start, right? Kind of go from the gut. But there's so much stuff from a, you know, business side, that I'm really eager to learn about and just become better about. You know, I mean, it sounds terrible to talk about, but like budgets and, you know, more about just building out the teams and team structures and, you know, some of that stuff that I've just never really been privy to, especially at like the scale that we are at now. So I'm kind of excited to kind of continue that. Obviously, you know, design, I think, is you're learning something new every day, different skills, techniques. You know, it's been a blast. I'd love to spend some more time with the hardware UX team on camera design and drones. Super interesting space. Just a whole nother level of constraints as far as how you're designing for underwater and outside and different lights and things. So that's something I'm kind of eager and looking forward to this next year.
Yeah, let me know if you guys ever decide to make an underwater rover. I'd love to talk to you about that.
Well, come on, also, man. We just came out with a flying camera. Give us some time.
Okay. All right. Well, actually, you know what I always thought would be cool is a drone that could drop, like, fly over the ocean and drop a submarine that could like swim and like go to the bottom, and then it could also float to the top and then be picked up back by the drone. Anyway, like
I think you could probably just make it so you could hit an eject button on the Karma, and maybe the camera would just go into the water and sink. There you go.
Well, it's also cool that you're sharing your knowledge with other people. You've been speaking, you know, ValleoCon, Circles. Actually, if I'd have known you were going to go to Circles and be in Texas, I would have gone and hung out with you.
Circles is awesome.
Yeah, I've actually never been to that. Never been to that conference, but I hear great things. Do you have any other speaking engagements coming up?
I don't actually. It's kind of one of those things that I've put on the back burner. I mean, ValleyCon was pretty easy because it was just right down here in San Diego. Yeah. But yeah, it's been really hard and kind of a bummer. I think when I was at Focus Lab, we really hit kind of the design conferences pretty hard. And this last year or so, it's just been a lot of work and not so much time to kind of devote to flying and going different places, you know, outside of, you know, being to a few of the Epicurrents events and things like that. But yeah, man, I really enjoy going and just getting out and seeing the people that you're kind of interacting with on Dribbble or Twitter or whatever it is. Yep. And actually putting a face to the avatar is pretty awesome. I think we met in Hawaii, right?
Yeah, we met in Hawaii at Epicurrents.
Yeah, I think we were in like in the food line, right? And next thing you know, we're talking on a podcast. I mean, it's pretty cool. The whole design community is something that I really wasn't aware of until, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And it's been probably one of the best parts about being a designer. Just meeting all these great people that you have like, you know, common interests with, you know, it's pretty cool.
I agree. Well, you know, hit us up if you're ever in Austin, and next time I'm in your area, I'll hit you. I know we couldn't meet up last time, but I'll hit you up again. Charlie, why don't you, you ought to come. I mean, if you ever want to come and have a place to co-work and, hang out, you always got a place to work or a place to stay. We don't have an ocean, but we can go on a lake and go bodyboarding or get a boat
that
or something
works.
And go do something.
That works.
Yeah. Kayaking.
Figure some stuff out. There's definitely water. Maybe there's a wave pool or something. We need to get that built for you guys.
We do have one of those large, or if it's not already open, they're building a large scale indoor or indoor or outdoor surfing place.
But, see, it's perfect. Yeah. I'm ready to come. Drive
well, well, you're welcome anytime. Charlie, why don't you let everyone know how they can follow what you're doing and find you on the interwebs?
Yeah, that's a good question. So Twitter, I think, is Charlie C. Waite, Dribble, Charlie Waite. Those are probably the best two. You can go to my website, charliewaite.me. I think that has links for everything. So if you actually really want to follow anything else I say or do or photos, that's probably the best place.
Oh, man. You guys check Charlie out. Check out the new GoPro stuff. Charlie, thanks for making time.
No, thanks. It was a blast.
It's a pleasure to speak with you. I hope to see you soon.
Yep, sounds good.
We'll see you next time on the Hustle Podcast. See you later, guys. This episode of Hustle is brought to you by Envision. Design better, faster, together. Learn more at envisionapp.com. Hustle is brought to you by Funsize, a digital product design studio that crafts delightful digital user experiences with inspiring product companies. Follow us at HustleCast and Funsize on Twitter.